Welcome back, everybody, to A Servant's Heartbeat. My name is Kristen. Thank you for listening and allowing me to share my heartbeat for the kingdom of God with you. Well, today's podcast has a little different flavor. I'm not going to be given a devotion today, but actually this is a recorded message that Brother Brian Pirtle, a minister in our church, recently preached or taught during a Thursday night Bible study. So we have been studying here on the podcast, as well as our music department, on 2 Peter chapter 1, where it talks about adding to your faith. So the virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, and so on. We've been doing that for about 3 or 4 weeks, and Brother Brian's message amazingly just sums up everything that we talked about plus more. So I asked him if he was all right with us putting this on the podcast, and he said yes. So thank you, Brother Pirtle, and hope that y'all enjoy this oil in my lamp.
Well, praise the Lord. Amen. It's good to be in God's house. It's good to feel the presence of the Lord. And God's still God even on Thursday night. Are you thankful for that? Amen. Amen. And Pastor has asked me tonight to just do a little teaching. And so we're going to slow things down and teach, but on one condition. I don't want you to go to sleep on me now. Amen. But we shouldn't go to sleep because it's the Word of God. Amen. So we should be safe. Amen. Amen. I love studying the Word of God, finding things in the Word of God. If you're not finding keys and you're not finding treasures, then you're not reading it like you should be reading it. You know, there's things that we're just not going to find the end of the Word of God. We're not going to get to a point where we can say, well, you know, that was a good read. It's done. You know, I know all there is to know. It's just not going to happen. And so while we are in this walk, while we are in this life, we just keep digging, keep living for the Lord, keep enjoying being where God wants us to be, being what God wants us to be. Amen. Amen. If you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 25, verse 1. If you have it, say amen. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise. Everybody say wise. And 5 were foolish. Everybody say foolish. All right. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept, and at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Everybody say shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." You may be seated. This is something that it's not just another Bible story, but this encompasses all of our life. This is what we live for. The coming of the Lord. We want to be ready. We want to have a relationship with him. Amen. And so this is one of those passages of scriptures where you can, if you've been reading your Bible for any amount of time, you know that as you go through, there are certain verses or certain passages that when you get to them, you already know how the story goes, and your humanity wants to go, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. Oh, I know the story. And it took the oil with the lamp and five wise. Okay, next chapter. But if we can start digging, if we can start rooting down, there's some keys here. There's something that is a treasure here. And so I begin to read through this, and I'm going to be honest with you, I started doing the same thing. I started skimming through the story, and I got to the end of it. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And I went to the next verse, and something said, hold on. And I didn't know what. I didn't see it. And so I started reading it again. And there was just something that kept pulling on me. There's something here. There's something deeper in this story. And so I started reading through it again. I started going through it and reading about the five wise and the five foolish and reading about the oil. And then I started wondering, well, what is the oil? You know, we talk about the oil, and we talk about having the Holy Ghost, and we're talking about, we live for God, and the oil is the Holy Ghost. But if you pay attention to the passage of Scripture, all 10 of the virgins were set apart. All 10 were going to meet the bridegroom. All 10 had lamps. And all 10 at one point had lamps lit. They had oil in their lamps. They had fire burning. They had something there. But only 5, everybody hold it up, 5 fingers, had extra oil. Only 5. And so I started getting curious. Old Sherlock Holmes started coming out. And I started digging. And so I begin to look, and I'm looking at the scene. I'm looking at the time frame. It's dark. It's getting to the point where naturally, you know, things are just going about, and it says that they begin to slumber. The hour naturally caused them to kind of lose focus on the coming of the bridegroom. And so they begin to sleep. The time now is dark. The world that we live in now is dark. We're not waiting for it to get there. It's already dark. If you pay any attention to the news whatsoever, you understand that we are long past getting there. We're right in the big middle of it. And I believe with everything in me that we don't have very long at all until the bridegroom is going to come. And so I want oil in my lamp. And I don't care what it costs me. I want oil in my lamp. Could you look at your neighbor and say, I want oil in my lamp? And so I begin to look at the oil. The oil, I studied the oil. It's naturally here. Oil that is mentioned here speaks of oil that's pressed from olives. It's olive oil. Olive is the fruit of the olive tree. And olive trees, if you know anything about olive trees are pretty neat. They can regenerate. They can regenerate after fires. They can regenerate after cold. They can regenerate after diseases. They don't need much water at all. They are able to grow in environments where many other types of trees can't grow. And the olive tree can live for thousands of years. In fact, there's a picture of a gentleman in Jerusalem that was taken just a couple of years ago that's standing next to a tree that's over 2,000 years old. And it's neat to think of the fruit that comes from this kind of tree. But it's not just the fruit that's left to itself. But it's what happens to that fruit. It's what happens to that olive that we want to dig into. And so talking about the oil, I begin to look at the process of making oil. What happens to the olive in order to get that oil to begin to flow? You just stick an olive on a table and hit it with a hammer and there you go. It's not quite that simple. There's a process in pressing olives to make oil. There first must be a good crop. You got to have a good crop of olives. And they'll go through and they'll inspect and they'll make sure that the olive is right for the oil production. It's got to be in season. October, November is the season where, right around this time frame, where they begin picking olives. And they begin to pluck and they begin to gather and they begin to pull all of these olives off of the trees and put them into the baskets. Third, they begin to sift through them. They begin to wash and pull out all of the rotten olives that they can, pull out all of the leaves that they can. Four, they begin putting the olives into the olive press. Nobody's fallen asleep yet, are you? Okay. Putting the olives into the olive press, and they begin to grind and press those olives. Number five, they put the olive mash into baskets, and then they are submitted into more pressing. It's not just a first crush that brings that oil, but it is pressure. And it's not just one time of pressure. It's three times where they press and then they let up and they add more weight and they press again. Number six, there comes the separation of the oil and the water, because out of that olive is going to flow all of the juices. There's going to be oil, yes, but there's also going to be some water. And so then seven, there's a straining, a collecting, a gathering together of that precious liquid gold, they call it. Liquid gold, the olive oil that can be now it can be gathered and put into vessels, into bottles, and it is passed amongst family members and those that are working the olive press. And then eight, it is distributed abroad. There's an industry that goes on from the olive press. And I don't think, when you study scripture, I like to find words that kind of they are similar, I guess you could say. You can find similar words in different passages of scripture, Old Testament, New Testament. But Luke 16:16 says, "The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it." It is not just a happy-go-lucky, well, we got the Holy Ghost. We just get to waltz into heaven. But there's an indication here that there begins to be a pressure. Things are applied. And then comes the oil. And so I begin to study. I begin to think, okay, what is the oil? What is the oil? And I was flipping through and I was going down through passages of scriptures, and I was just sitting there and it dawned on me. We've been studying 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 through 8 in music practice. And so I flipped over, and you can do the same, to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. And Sister Kristen has been doing an amazing job in that, by the way. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 through 8, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, I counted. Here, there's steps. First is faith. Faith. You got to have a good crop. Faith is the spiritual climate causes fruit to be able to grow. We've got to have faith. We've got to have faith. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so the very first foundation is you've got to believe that God is for you. We serve one true living God that is very interested in every single aspect of our lives. God is not a respecter of persons. God is not one to get an attitude and fold his arms and pick on you just because you didn't wear the right shoes today. But God is one that is righteous, and he stands by his word. And if we get involved in his word and we take his word, take him at his word through faith, then we know that things are going to begin to take place. You can look at Hebrews chapter 11 and you can see by faith, Abraham, by faith, Moses, by faith, and all of these, by faith, they didn't have the Holy Ghost. A lot of times they didn't even have feeling. A lot of times they went spans without hearing another word from God. But they had faith. God said it. I know the God that I serve. I've put my trust in him. And so I'm going to walk according to that word that he gave. And so that's when things start blooming. And that's when God says, okay, I can work with that. You got some faith. Without faith, it is kind of possible to please God. It works on Tuesdays and Wednesdays to not have faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. If you can't get faith, you can't start in that process. You got to start with faith. When we come to God, we have to believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And then when we start digging into the word of God, we find the instructions of God. Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Is anybody thankful for the gift of the Holy Ghost? But it's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. There's got to be faith. But then we have to take that faith and we have to build on it. So we've got a good crop now. Now we begin with virtue. Add to your faith virtue. Now we begin to pluck some of those olives. We begin to gather. Faith without works is dead. We got to put some effort into it. We got to stop. I believe. And then there has to come something that follows that. Okay, if you believe, then James, one of them, Moses, Noah, somebody. James said, you show me your faith without your works, and I'm going to show you my faith by my works. Okay? And so faith without works is dead. We must build upon the faith. We must act on faith. And so you start in that faith, you start getting a hold of a desire. Everybody say desire. And that desire causes you to get up and get out there and start gathering some things and start putting some things into baskets. And that desire is what promotes the action. And so you're not content just believing that God's word is true. You want to start digging into it. You want to start obeying. And that virtue, as you're digging and as you're picking and you're desiring now, there is a God, and I believe that there is a God, but I want to please that God. And so now we begin to put virtues in the basket. And there's got to be a personal gathering of those spiritual things. And you can look at Matthew chapter 5, and you can see the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. And you start finding things like that, little nuggets and little treasures, and you start taking it into your life and trying to act it out and trying to work with it. Then add to your virtue knowledge. But I say knowledge. This is the sifting and the washing, the pulling out leaves, the rottenness. Knowledge is when we begin to find a familiarity with Scripture, and we begin to find a familiarity in prayer. Now it's not just a curiosity. Now it is wanting to be a part and wanting to become familiar. Now it's not, see, Uzzah was familiar, but he was familiar in the wrong way. He was just accustomed to the point where he lost respect. But the familiarity that we're talking about here today is a familiarity in reverence. It's, God, I want to be close to you, but I want to do it in reverence and in honor. God, I want to know you. It's kind of like David. Kind of like David walking into the tabernacle. He wanted to be close. Oh, but he was fearful of, he knew the greatness of God. But there was something that drew David. And so he was there. He was constantly. He said, I'm like a green olive tree in the house of the Lord. I'm just there wanting to soak things in. I want a familiarity with the things of God. I know I'm not full grown. I know I've got some lessons to learn, but I want to be close to God. And so we begin to explore in prayer. And this is looking deeper, as we talked about earlier, in God's word, more than just a topical daily read through. Well, I read my 1.5 verses today, and so thankful. Praise God. Check that off. No, it's a desire to get in and figure out, what is God saying to me? How can I take this word into my life? And then we add to knowledge, number 4, temperance. Temperance is the olive press. It's pouring these olives into the olive press. Understanding that work and pressure, getting out of the comfort zone, is what really builds. Getting out of a place of comfort, relaxation, is what is really going to cause the growth. Everybody wants to be in the presence of God, and we should. I'm not knocking that. Everybody wants to be in a place where the glory of God is at, and that's right. We should. We all like to feel His closeness, His anointing, but if we can be honest tonight, in our humanity, none of us like to take on the confrontations, the struggles of life. We tend to shy away from those things. We like to have things easy. We do. That's our humanity. And we find, whatever our personality, whatever the way that we go, we find ways to do that. But then there comes the spiritual fights. Then there comes the struggles. And we start saying, God, why? But it's just part of the process. It's just part of the process. Nobody really wants to be jerked out of their comfort zone, shoved into an unfamiliar, dangerous territory where you got questions, you got problems, you don't know where the next check is going to come from, you don't know where the next meal is going to come from, you don't know how you're going to find peace in this situation, you don't know, you don't see a way out. This is where temperance is built. This is where we have to add temperance. Temperance is the willingness to walk through that place. And temperance is desire that now is grown to the point where we're willing to walk through some hardships. We're willing to keep going because there's something about this. I'm not going to stop. I don't like it. Nobody said you had to like it. Nobody said it was going to be easy. They just said, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And so, like it or not, temperance is the willingness to go through it. You begin to allow frustrations, miscommunications, misunderstandings, hardships, so that something greater can be birthed. It's not saying that you just walk around and, you know, you just get beat on and, well, praise God. But there has to be a willingness. There has to be something in us that says, okay, God, whatever this is, my desire is greater than what I'm going through. There's a little bit of oil in that olive press. And you can scrape up that mashed olive and you can feel that viscosity, that oil, that something beginning to happen in the process. Then we add to temperance patience. Everybody say patience. This is putting that mash into the baskets. It's not through with the process. It's not through with the grinding. Now it has to be pressed. But it's not just a quick little press. It's pressure that's steadily, constantly being applied. And then it lets up and you think, woo, this trial's over. Praise God. Another weight's added and it's pressure again. And then you think, well, you know, I found a way out and I'm going to, and then it's pressure again. But there is a purpose. There is a purpose. One of the hardest things to do in a walk with God is wait. One of the most difficult things. We like to kick doors down spiritually. We like to be on top of the world. Woo! Praise God. But what happens when God wants you to wait? Okay, God, I'll wait. I got 12 hours. But what about when God says wait 3 years? What about when it turns into questions? God, did I hear you right? God, I thought you spoke to me. Abraham, there's going to be a son. Woo! Praise God. Down the road, Lord, you there, Lord? I don't know if I'm missing the flow here. And then questions come, and you don't know how to respond. But the waiting, that's just faith turning into trust. That's trickling down all the way from faith at the beginning. And now we're really deep in the process and we're having to learn how to trust God. Hurrying along. Just when the pressing you thought would ease, there's some more. But there are certain presses in this process. Three presses and some processes had more. But the first press was used for holy oil that would be used for the menorah. It would be used for anointing oil. It would be used for the sprinkling or the anointing of the showbread. It would be used for sacrificial purpose. When a meat offering was offered, there would be fine flour and it would be mingled with oil. All of those things, that was the first press. The second press was for daily usage. It was for consumption. It was for cooking. It was for using as far as ointments. It was for all of these different things. And then the third press was used for lamps. And we'll get back to that here in a second, but I want you to keep that in the back of your mind. Number six, we add to our patience godliness. There is a separation of oil and water. This is holiness. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. This is now, yes, there's some things flowing, but it's really, 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 really begin to separate some things. And there is gulfs being set, and there's now vessels here and vessels here. Vessels of honor, vessels of dishonor. It's being connected to the ways of God. The oil would be drained out of the vats. It would come off of the top. Then the remaining water would be let out and disposed of. And now you have oil that you can work with. But then you have to move forward with it. Can't just dip a cup in. But we add to godliness brotherly kindness. This is now a fine straining of that oil. It's collecting the oil together and very, very carefully beginning to pour it in close quarters. This is working at the olive press. This is families together. This is friends together. This is fraternal affection. In this process, you can't practice pulling down your brother and your sister. There has to be brotherly kindness. This is love within the body. Communication within the body. How many knows communication is hard? If you don't believe it, just ask my wife. She gets frustrated with me all the time. Don't tell her I said that. Communication is an effort sometimes. Sometimes it's frustrating. I'm trying to say this. I understand, but I'm trying to say this. But you don't understand. I'm trying to say this. But I understand, but you get frustrated, and this happens even within the church. You get situations amongst people that spend a lot of time together, and you get frustrated. Natural. But we've got to add some brotherly kindness to that godliness. There's got to be an effort within this production, and we've got to work together. Everybody say together. Psalm 133, 1 and 2, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard. That's talking about anointing oil. That's talking about oil right there. Oil that's been through a process and is used for a purpose. It's like that precious oil that ran down upon the head, that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment. It was covered in that. That's what unity is like. That's what brotherly kindness should be like. Covered
with oil. And then you add to, and this is the eighth step, you add to brotherly kindness, charity. And now it goes from just inside us four no more inside these walls, where we've been having Holy Ghost church. Now we got to take that oil out there. Now we got to take all the stuff that we've been working on and we've been trying to get, we got to take it out there. Because it does us no good if we keep it in here. It does us no good if we can stay in the house of God and have a good time and go to work and go. But there's got to be something in us that says, hey, my brother, hey, what do you think about a Bible study? Hey, you mentioned something about the Bible the other day. I came up with an answer, something I think you might be interested to hear. Just that oil, just wanting to get on somebody. Oil doesn't easily wash off, but it just kind of sticks around, and it's got that oiliness to it. And so now we begin to give that oil. It's not just for us, but now that oil begins to light our community. Now that oil begins to go forth for anointing to those that are in need. Now that oil is used in providing and food prep, providing and sustaining those that can't do it for themselves. It's used in healing. There's a lot of people out there that's got a lot of hurts. And yes, we need healing. And yes, we've got wounds. And yes, we've got things, but we can't forget about this world that is lost and in despair. And that oil is used to preserve, to protect. Oil was a sign of prosperity and blessing. Israel's exports were made constantly, and the people were blessed because of the oil. And the oil was so important to Israel. When Israel was invaded by foreign lands, the pastor told me this, the first thing that they wanted to do was cut down the olive trees. Because they knew that if they could cut down the olive trees, they took away that whole industry, the whole process. A people would collapse, they thought, without this oil. But we have a process that the enemy is not going to be able to cut down. We've got an oil process. And so this, I really, really feel like, is the oil in the lamps. And Sister Kristen, when I started reading further, that was good. But when I started reading further, the comparison in that story that Jesus told in Matthew, the comparison of that story in this is remarkable. Okay? Think with me. Verse 8. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, you got extra. If you got the process going, and you don't just, well, I got a little service today, got a little Holy Ghost today, and you just, no, that process is going to keep going. I got to keep growing. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall be neither barren nor unfruitful. You're not going to be empty. You're not going to try to trim your lamp one day and find out, oh, and so then, verse 9, but he that lacketh, the foolish, those that didn't bring extra, he that lacketh these things is blind. Why? They got no lamps, they can't see, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Verse 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make, remember the bridegroom, the call at midnight. Give diligence to make your calling and election, your choosing. You got to make it sure. You got to make sure you've got oil in your lamp. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Now here's verse 11. Remember the bridegroom? For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Is anybody thankful for that tonight? Ooh, I feel the Holy Ghost. I wonder if we could just lift our hands right here, if we could just thank Him for His goodness. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oil is not made all at once. You don't take all of the olives and put them through the process and get all of the olives crushed all at once and all of the olives pressed all at once. It's a process. In fact, during these 2 months, there's a time frame where the olive presses become bustling work centers day and night. By sun, by moon, by candles, the process is done again and again and again. The opportunity is presented by the ripening of crops. Timely response was made, and an application was made. And these three things we got to get a hold of. You got to recognize the opportunity. Got to respond correctly and in a timely manner. And you got to apply God's word. You got to work with it. Apply the benefits of the Holy Ghost. Work with them. Now, I hate to inform you, but you're not going to reach a place of absolute perfection in this life. Those of you who have made it, please wait for the rest of us. We're not going to reach that place. But if we're going to make it, we've got to diligently apply ourselves to spiritual growth. We've got to. Because, as Jesus said, those without the oil didn't make it. They came to the door and they were knocking and they were calling and said, but Lord, Lord, we went to Apostolic Lighthouse. But Lord, we were in service and Brother Crosswhite was preaching. But Lord, I mean, I was at that altar that one night. You remember, Lord, I don't know you. I don't know you because you don't have any oil. It isn't an option. Spiritual growth, this process is not an option. It is a requirement. It is an absolute requirement. And if we don't apply this, we will not make heaven. Everyone is different. What you go through, what you go through, what I go through, what you go through is different, completely different. Oil has all kinds of different signatures. There's different types of olive oil. Some olives are pressed only at midnight. Some have varying temperatures that they have to be pressed in. There's different people that are part of the process and different bottles and from different trees and different, all of this stuff. But it's the oil. Every oil has a signature. Your oil is needed. We want everybody, but everybody has a place in the kingdom of God. You have lives that you can touch that I can't touch. There's people that you can reach that I can never reach. There's experiences that you've gone through that I've never been through. Everybody has their personal, their oil. Everybody has to go through the process themselves. But it is precious. Everybody say precious. That is precious to God. Precious to God. And I'm almost done. Don't be discouraged with the process. Don't be discouraged. A lot of times we start talking about olive presses and pressures, and by the time service is over, you're kicking rocks. Life's nothing but trials. But the psalmist, speaking about Jesus, said, therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil
of gladness above thy fellows. Isaiah 61 and 3 says he's going to give the oil of joy for mourning. There's some oil. There's some oil, and it's worth it. It is worth it. It is worth it. Jesus went through it. Jesus faced. Jesus dealt with it. In fact, the word Gethsemane means oil press. And so that process has to keep going. It shouldn't stop. You don't have to wait for a trial. You can get to a place of prayer and you can start pressing. You can start working and dealing with things and desiring and experiencing. Get curious about the Word of God. Start digging in. Start saying, God, I want you to speak to me. God, I don't want just to pick an olive from the tree. And well, that's nice. If you try to eat an olive straight from the tree, you're going to get a big surprise. It is not all soft and gushy like comes in the... No, it is extremely bitter and hard to the point you may break some teeth. It has to be processed. It has to be worked with. But then comes the oil. Is anybody thankful for the oil tonight? Amen, amen. Much oil. Much oil. Take some time. Start getting in that process. Collecting some oil. I don't know how much we're going to need. But there's a dark, dark time coming. I want to make sure I got plenty. I'd rather be have buckets, dragging buckets. And the Lord say, well, you didn't need quite that much. I mean, I'd rather be overabundant than saying, hey, can I borrow some oil from you? Hey, can I? I want to make it to heaven. How about you? Let's go to heaven. How? Together. And oily.